Carson and Chris, your research showed what people believed in, but did it tell you why they believed it?
That's a tougher question. We did not ask people specifically on the survey, why do you believe in the paranormal? But I feel like we did learn some about that in our field work. And what I would say is that one of the biggest reasons that people expressed an interest in the paranormal was, one, a sense of adventure. That we did find quite a bit that amongst people who are ghost hunting, searching for Bigfoot, this real desire to have adventure, this real desire to have this sense of discovery, and to and we found that the people who are engaging these Bigfoot hunts, the hunts themselves are a real exciting part, an adventure in their lives, that on the weekends they get to go and hunt for a monster. And so we found that there was a sense of discovery that motivated a lot of people. We also found that for other people and for different types of topics, it was more about a sense of self-enlightenment, that people who are more interested in psychic powers, astrology, they're more interested in self-improvement, understanding their lives, understanding what their future is going to be like. So those two aspects, discovery and enlightenment, really tend to motivate people to have an interest in these subjects. We also found that experiences play an important role. That for some people we talked to, their experience grew out of their beliefs. In other words, that someone who's been reading about UFOs for a long time has a UFO experience. For other people, they were essentially thrust into the belief by an experience. If you suddenly see Bigfoot walk across the path when you're out in the woods one day, then you have a new belief that maybe you didn't have before.
Exactly. Or a ghost, if your grandmother comes to your bedside and you didn't believe in them before.
Right.
I'd also like to throw in a little sociological explanation in terms of networks, and that is, if you get connected with a group of friends or a group of acquaintances who are interested in the paranormal, then there's a very good chance that you're going to get pulled into their realm as well.
Right.
And we saw this with a number of the groups that we visited that we asked, well, how did you get involved in this? Well, you know, I was friends with so-and-so, and he was telling me about this, and I decided, you know, I'd like to come along one weekend. They invited me, and that was 2 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since.
Does it skew any specific demographic, age, sex, the belief system?
Wow, that's a great question. It skews all of the – and, again, it kind of goes back to the – it absolutely goes back to the point that Chris raised about which belief you're talking about. There is – not a uniform belief in any of the paranormal subjects that we talked about, but there are patterns in the data. For example, if you look at who believes in
UFOs.
Bigfoot, UFOs is frankly more men than women.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But it's the only topic.
Right, all the other beliefs, it's more women than men.
And more women than men.
The ghosts, more women than men, for example.
That's true.
Yes, absolutely.
Bigfoot? Even Bigfoot.
See, I would have thought it would have been more men, because they're always camping. You know?
Well, it's about a 50-50 split on cryptozoology.
Huh.
Yeah, you would have thought, well, you know, and that was my misconception at the beginning, was that, well, you know, the Bigfoot guys are all going to be hunters and who've gone out in the woods and might have seen something, and now they're back out there looking for it. Well, that may be the folks who are out in the woods on the weekend, but if you ask people if they believe in the possibility of this existence, it's a pretty even split for men and women.
And I think that that the fact that we did not find a very clear pattern as to who believes in the paranormal is actually one of the most important findings in the book.
Yeah.
Because you would get the sense from when you hear the paranormal discussed on a show, not a show that's not yours, George, because you're very respectful of your guests, that people tend to paint the paranormal as this is the province of the gullible, the uneducated, people who don't know any better, essentially.
Yeah.
And so someone who's on some of these media shows or some of the other academics that we know, some skeptics would say, well, here's who's going to believe in the paranormal. It's going to be someone who has no education. It's right. going to be someone of low income. It's going to be someone on the margins or the fringes of society. And we can say conclusively that is not the case. That stereotype needs to end.
And that stereotype is perpetuated in mass media culture. I mean, when they make fun of people who when they make fun of people with paranormal beliefs on television shows or in movies, who are they making fun of? They're making fun of, you know, the local yokel, the guy that's got missing teeth, and he's kind of very dumb and gullible.
The shotgun on the back of his truck.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And in fact, we found that the education has very little effect on believing in the paranormal. Yeah. There's only three things where it has a big effect. That basically, if you do not have a high school diploma, you are somewhat more likely to believe in psychic powers, astrology, and ghosts. It's not a huge effect, but it is a slight effect. And what that means is that education does not have an effect on all of these other beliefs we've been talking about, such as monsters and UFOs and so on. So that the stereotypes that have been perpetuated that are very negative, there's no basis in fact for those stereotypes. They're convenient. People like to use them. I think people want to dismiss paranormal beliefs, so they want to paint the people who believe in these things as just stupid. And whatever you believe about the paranormal, that stereotype does not hold water.
Let's talk about your research and how you conducted it. Several ways, right?
That's right. I think that one of the, as Carson mentioned, we conducted a nationwide survey. We also surveyed conferences related to the paranormal. We also went out in the field. So Carson and I and Joseph, we went out on a Bigfoot hunt with the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy. We spent the night in a house that was supposedly haunted by 150 angry ghosts or demons. We went to a psychic fair and had our palms read and auras photographed.
Tarot.
And we thought it was very important to do that because too many academics write books sitting behind their desk and staring at their computers and never actually going out and meeting people. And I think Carson would agree with this, that meeting people in this case was extraordinarily important. And
yes.
And resulted in a lot of surprises for us.
And you didn't come up with, at least in the book, any specific editorializing of the people you met.
No. As sociologists, it's not our place to point fingers.
You didn't care, which is important.
Right. It is important. And frankly, when we were out in the field with people, when we went on the Bigfoot hunt, for example, people just have to understand our perspective that, frankly, we're watching the people and not for Bigfoot. We are not qualified to assess physical evidence. We cannot tell you if a footprint in the ground is actually a Sasquatch footprint. We cannot tell you if that noise out there is actually Sasquatch. What we can tell you is what these people are like and how this belief affects their lives. And so people have to understand that gives us a unique perspective. We're not out there making a checklist of, here's how this person is being silly, or this clearly is not what it's supposed to be, or out there saying, look at all this evidence for Bigfoot. The issue of the reality of these subjects is really off the table for us.
When you went on these hunts, either Bigfoot or the haunted house, did you see anything unusual? Anything that you would categorize as truly paranormal in experience?
That's a great question. It's just I think part of our problem is we're not really qualified to say what's normal and what's paranormal.
Yeah,
sure.
We're sociologists, and so we're trained in studying group behavior and statistical methodology. And because much of paranormal belief and practice is really group behavior. People tend to do these things in groups. They have organizations to which they belong. They go to conferences, et cetera. This is all patterns of group behavior. Those are the things we were interested in. Now, I will say this about our experiences with the ghost hunters and the Bigfoot hunters and everyone else. You know, maybe Chris didn't sense this because I think maybe he's had more experience, but I did feel some inclination to being that they were trying to convert me at times.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, "Oh, now you couldn't have missed that," and I'm like, "Well, you know, guys, I'm a little slow."
And you went, "What? What?"
Like, so I did feel, but not in any disrespectful way were they trying to do that. But I think, you know, and that's probably just part of, and again, well, it is. It's just part of natural group behavior. If you're with a group of people who have a firm belief or about something, they're naturally going to want to share it with you.